It is my great joy to invite Heidi up from St. Luke's tonight to bring the first message of our series of Walking with Christ to the Cross. Heidi, would you come up, please? Got a full glass of water. If you get thirsty, talk until we're all running for brownies.
Sounds good.
Here we go.
Thank you.
It is wonderful to be here. I always feel very welcomed here at the Renewed Life in Jesus Church. So thank you, Pastor Rick, for that wonderful warm welcome and hospitality. It was about this time last year, just a few weeks before this time last year, that Doug and I had just arrived to the beautiful state of Vermont, and we're still adjusting to life in Vermont, and also to my new calling as St. Luke's Episcopal Church rector. But one of the first things that the St. Luke's folks told me about was about the local ministerium, and that it meets monthly, and that, among other things, it plans this annual Lenten gathering of our congregations in the Chester and the Andover communities. So I do consider myself blessed that God has given me this opportunity to share God's word with you for this first evening of the series. I'd like to begin with our passage that we will be looking at this evening, and it comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. You can find it in the inside flap of the back page of the bulletin as well. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 51 reads, "When the days drew near for him, for Jesus, to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." This opening verse in our passage in Luke's Gospel for this evening stands out because it gives the theme of tonight's message. Because Jesus, in this first verse, has what stood out for me is he has set his face. Now picture in your mind an image of a face that is set. What does this mean? What image does this conjure up for you or bring up? What I imagine when I see a set face in my mind is someone with a strong resolve who is determined and who is focused. And so I looked up the word face in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, and this word in scriptures, in all of scriptures, used well over 500 times. Would have been exhausting for me to count it all. So the face, or the countenance, is very significant, and it tells so much about ourselves, and it tells other people about ourselves as well. I hear people say sometimes, if you ask them about somebody they had met, they said, "Oh, I can't remember that person's name, but boy, I sure remember the face." And with our faces, keep in mind, we can see, we can hear, we can smell, and we can speak. We also, our inner thoughts or intentions are often expressed in and through our faces, and also through our eyes. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, says in Matthew 6:22, "The eye is the lamp of the body." So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. So what our faces convey matters. Luke's gospel in our passage is giving us the clear message that Jesus is headed south into Judea, and he is bound for Jerusalem. And Jesus will not be deterred from his mission. And up until this point, Jesus and his disciples were teaching and healing in various towns located in the north in the Galilean region. And people were being drawn to Jesus. They were becoming interested, and soon Jesus was getting a great following, a great crowd that would follow him about. But Jesus knew from his times in prayer before God, his Father, he knew now what time it really was. And Luke's passage states that the days drew near for him to be taken up. It was time for Jesus to gather his followers and begin the trek, begin the journey to Jerusalem, where he knew what awaited him. He knew he would die on the cross, he would be raised from the tomb, and in Jerusalem is where he would go in glory to ascend to his Father in heaven. From Galilee, the most direct route to Jerusalem would have been through Samaria, but that was not the way they would be traveling. The Samaritans, who were of mixed races, were despised, and they were looked down upon by the Judean Jews. And finding out where Jesus was headed, the Samaritans refused Jesus' hospitality through their territory. To refuse a person's hospitality was a serious offense in that day and age and culture. So Jesus had to take his disciples on a more circuitous route that would take them longer before they would reach the destination. What I believe the Holy Spirit is telling us, what is the Holy Spirit telling us through this exchange with Jesus and the Samaritans? Often the path that we take with God through Christ and in Christ carries with it a lot of detours along the way. And I think that many here this evening would be able to share stories of their own detours in your faith and walk with Christ. Times were when we weren't even on the path, perhaps, or where we had strayed from the path. God's path can be seen by us this evening, and he is calling each and every one of us to step onto this path, to follow Christ. The journey will not be short. The journey will not be direct. And Luke's gospel records in later chapters how Jesus, with his disciples, stopped many times along the way so that they could teach and heal and do other works of ministry and carry out God's mission before they would reach the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem. And the journey that God calls us to take, especially in the season of Lent, is not an easy one. It is not smooth. It's rather rough. You have to watch your step. On the road to Calvary, there are simply no shortcuts. Along the way, we may become impatient. We may start judging others whom we think are holding us back from our faith journey. And in this case, it is James and John who ask Jesus, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus, in his mercy and in his patience with all of us, turns around, faces James and John's, and essentially tells them, "Just stop being angry." The disciples needed to be reminded that when with God, there is nothing really that stands in the way of God's love and of God's mercy. Our part is to commit ourselves to his care and to trust that Jesus will go with us and be with us every step of the way. The walk with Christ to the cross is our Lenten theme for this year, and it is also a test of our loyalty and our commitment to God as disciples of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit asks us if we are willing to let Jesus lead us all the way to the cross this Lenten season. And as Christians, we are in it with Christ for the long haul, for all eternity. A lifelong commitment of love and of obedience to God's will can be a little daunting when we think about it, be a little scary. But our loyalty to Christ will demand this of us, and it will demand of us our spiritual stamina and our resolve. Luke's gospel tells us that there are three essential and necessary things when it comes to being true disciples. And all three of these things have to do or are grounded in our willingness. The men who showed interest in following Jesus needed to give of themselves in these three ways. They needed to give of their entire devotion to the work of God's kingdom through Christ. They also needed to give of their absolute priority to the cause and work of the kingdom in Christ, and they needed to give their exclusive attention. The first person that Jesus meets on the road in our passage, according to our passage, this first person came to Jesus and said, "I will follow you wherever you go." This person is eager, but he is uninformed in the ways of God. And Jesus answers back saying that he has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, Jesus is not tied down by things and concerns of his family or anything. This man who was so enthusiastic now begins to have second thoughts because he doesn't want to give up all of his ties. He doesn't want to give up his family ties just to be with Jesus, who himself is practically homeless. This man knows in his heart that he is not willing to offer his self-denying devotion for God's kingdom that Jesus is bringing on earth. And the second and the third men both love their family, but so much so that they end up loving Jesus a little less. They too cannot offer their absolute priority, nor can they give their full and complete attention to God's work. And so when we look at these three men and the way Jesus responded to them, I'm asking myself at least, well then, who can be saved? I mean, we all have families, we all have friends, we have responsibilities, we have interests, we have our talents and our calling even. Jesus is clearly raising the bar of what it means to be a disciple. The cost of discipleship is very high, and we wonder, well, who could ever measure up? And Luke's gospel doesn't tell us what happened to these three men who were considering discipleship with Christ. Maybe they did meet Jesus at a later time and were better able to receive his words and his love. We can't really know, but we can take comfort in knowing that God never gives up on us. We can know and help shape our own story with God. How is it that we ourselves will respond to the Lord's call for us to forsake everything and to follow him? And will we be able to trust that God's Spirit is leading us every step of the way, all the way? The message that Luke's gospel is conveying, if we read it carefully through the lens of the Holy Spirit, it's not that we literally, perhaps we do, but not necessarily, literally forsake our families and all of our ties on earth. The message God is giving us has everything to do with our willing hearts. What is our willingness? Is it our willingness to put God first in our lives? Following Jesus as his disciple means that we have to let go of our own way of seeing and doing things. And it means we embrace and we walk wholeheartedly the path of the new covenant that Jesus accomplished through his death and his resurrection and ascension. As followers of the way, Jesus' way, we must learn to release the control that we hold over ourselves and the need to feel like we need to control our situation and everything, and allow God to control us instead. Christ's rule is a rule of justice, peace, mercy, and love. To the third man in our last verse, Jesus said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Well, have you ever ridden a bike or driven a car down a highway? Don't look back, because it won't go well. You won't go far. You'll likely crash. And my driving instructor, when I was a teenager, my parents made me actually take driving lessons. They didn't want to teach me themselves. Now I understand why, perhaps. My driving instructor would tell me, "Heidi, keep your eyes on the road." Now we go back to the beginning of our verse, of the first verse in Luke's passage. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. With a single mind and single purpose, Jesus did not look back. He followed the will of his Father. Our Lenten journey requires that we, like Jesus, set our face for what lies ahead, that we stay focused on Jesus, who walks with us every step of the way, all the way to Jerusalem and to glory.